Sure. Jonathan Berendt, author of my last book, was Work Makes Me Nervous, Overcome Anxiety, Develop the Confidence to Succeed, Wiley. That came out 2 years ago. And Beyond Shyness, How to Conquer Social Anxieties, Simon & Schuster. That came out in 92. And the website where there's a lot of essential information is socialanxiety.com.
Jonathan, we now know that at least one person was pretty unsettled about accused Aurora, Colorado shooter James Holmes. But we're talking today about some of the warning signs, perhaps, about people who could pose a threat to themselves or society. Are there telltale signs?
There are many telltale signs, and the problem is society doesn't want to look at them. Society has a very organized response to these mass murders. They have analyzed every single aspect of it, the methodology involved, the first aid is at the scene immediately, the police response, and I could go on and on. But what's been missing is any attempt at prevention. So if we look at the common denominators, we see these terms used over and over. Rarely socialized, introversion, no friends. Now, James Holmes, the guy who supposedly did the Aurora massacre, was described as incredibly uncommunicative. That is a major telltale sign. The subhuman species manifested as the Virginia Tech killer had a major, major case of selective mutism. This obviously is a condition that impacts communication. Now, the problem is that if we take a look at social avoidance as the most important symptom to be understood and analyzed and diagnosed and treated, you've got to take a look at social anxiety disorder, because that's an entree into understanding this problem. Now, even though social anxiety is the third most prevalent mental health problem behind substance abuse and depression, which are its primary comorbid or associated conditions, mm-hmm. nobody wants to talk about this kind of situation. So when you start in early childhood and you see conditions like selective mutism and panic in social situations, or what everybody, you know, the collective word is shy. That's why the title of my first book is Beyond Shyness. You have to make it less abstract and more concrete. So everybody says, oh, leave little Johnny alone. He'll grow out of the problem. That's the biggest mistake that is made with shyness and social anxiety, which is the precursor to social avoidance. The second biggest mistake is the inappropriate use of medication.
Now, I guess this keeps happening over and over, cases like Columbine, Virginia Tech, and now Aurora, Colorado. And, of course, it's exacerbated by the availability of guns, and it just makes it a very volatile mix. Are you saying that if we caught it early enough, that we could nip it in the bud?
That's what I'm saying. And the symptom that really characterizes what we're talking about here is a condition called selective mutism. Okay, mm-hmm. So I said before that James Holmes was described as incredibly uncommunicative, and the Virginia Tech killer had a major case of selective mutism. Selective mutism manifests itself when the child is 3, 4, 5 years old. It is a talking phobia. The typical profile is that the child talks normally at home, but verbal performance is shut down in other situations, primarily in school settings. That's where the performance pressure is, and with people outside of the family. This condition, while it impacts 6 to 7 out of 1,000 children, and believe me, these children grow up to be adolescents and adults, there is very, very little help worldwide for this condition. Why? Because the parents have their own anxiety. It's very hard for them to deal with the situation. It's much easier to believe that the child will grow out of the condition. But when you have a child like this in school, most schools by far and away do not know how to deal with this. So what happens is the child becomes disempowered. And when we get back to the mass killings, if we look at now, sadly and tragically, there are different subsets of the mass killings. We have the loners, and we have what happened the other day in Wisconsin. But if you look at the common denominator, the people who are committing these crimes are disempowered. The result of disempowerment, and this is the core issue, is anger and rage at very deep levels. So when you have social or performance anxiety, and the person has to avoid that public speaking scenario or speaking in public in general, or making that sales call, or going on that date, or avoiding situations because they fear being noticeably nervous. Mm-hmm. That becomes an investment in disempowerment. And this is the core issue. This is the rage and the anger at deep levels. So when we have these cliches in life, like cognitive behavioral therapy is the answer to everything, that is such an overly used cliche, as is the misunderstanding that medicine can cure social anxiety. It can be really good when used appropriately, but all too often it is not. So the core issue is the anger and rage, which is the result of disempowerment, which is caused by this type of anxiety. Now, most people with the rage implode, and they have stress-related symptoms or depression, and thank goodness it's only a small percentage who act out like this.
How can you tell when there is going to be a problem with something like this versus just a plain old introvert?
Well, that is the absolute challenge question. And this is why, everything starts at home. When I had my first book came out by Simon & Schuster, Beyond Shyness, they asked me, you're writing a book about shyness, why are you writing about parents? Well, at that time, which was 30 years ago, if I didn't write about the parents, I never would have had a practice, because these people wouldn't have come to therapy on their own volition. This is the quintessential disease of resistance. But it starts at home. Okay, and the parents need to, I'm not blaming, this is just educational. The parents need to be educated as to what are the warning signs. Where are the parents where the teenagers are spending hours and hours collecting ammunition and learning how to build bombs on the internet? Should there be some supervision? It's too easy to look the other way with really what is an addiction. And the addiction that I'm referring to here is the avoidance of human interaction and socialization.
We have to pay better attention. Is that what you're saying? Not only on the home front, but also in the workplace, if we notice something troubling like this. I mean, it could be embarrassing if it turns out to be nothing, but what if it isn't?
That's why information is power. So when the parents and the mental health professionals and the medical profession is willing to learn more about social anxiety, right now they're not. They're really not. When they're willing to learn more, they can have the information to do appropriate diagnostics, which can turn into productive intervention.
Do you think that focusing on guns and or violent video games, violent movies, things like that, is beside the point?
I don't think anything's going to be resolved with gun control. I think, because that's too complex a subject. I think that when we talk about the video games, that becomes a telltale sign. I have had countless numbers of individuals of all ages, kids, teenagers, adults, who are in their room playing literally 50, 60 hours of video games a week. Now, that usually, there's nothing against video games, it's the excessiveness of it. So what happens is when the kids become so dependent on the video games for entertainment, literally they are shutting down the brain pathways that are required for social interaction. That becomes an addiction within an addiction to the video games, which really enables the overall avoidance. So it's something that really has to be looked at. And again, where does it start? It starts in the home.
Also, what is troubling is everybody is on their own little mobile device, and they're not paying attention. They're not making eye contact. They're not paying attention to anything around it. Do you expect this problem to get worse?
It's absolutely going to get worse. So obviously we need technology. It's a wonderful thing. What is happening, and I see this very, very clearly, is that the collective use of overuse of technology in our society is shutting down collectively the neural, that's N-E-U-R-A-L, the brain pathways required for human interaction and for verbal communication specifically. The most common thing that I have heard in 10,000 patients since 1978 is, I don't know what to say, or I have nothing to say. That is a variation of the reference to selective mutism, because really what's happening when a person says that is that their internal critical script is shutting them down. They're censoring themselves. But why? Because using those neural pathways required for verbal communication is difficult, and focusing on the computer games and the technology and all that is what shuts down the potential of those pathways. So there's got to be a balance.
I guess when selective mutism is paired with rage, that's when you have the problem. Is there any way to, I guess, combat the rage and then have everything else go away?
The way that you're going to combat the rage is to you have to sequence things. You first have to be aware of what is the nature of the social avoidance, because it's this, we're humans are animals that are social. Mm-hmm. And I've heard every kind of excuse in the world about why not to be social. But these patterns are observable in early childhood. So what is needed to really turn this around is that the parents and the caregivers and the school teachers and the professionals have to be educated as to what are the real dynamics that are taking place. So going back to my reference of the cliche of cognitive behavioral therapy, mm-hmm. cognition is important, obviously. Everything starts with a thought. Behavior, you know, speaks for itself. But the core issue is that you've got to get to the emotion involved, the embarrassment, shame, humiliation, how that turns into the anger and rage at different levels of consciousness, and how the emotion relates to physiology. Mm-hmm. You know, when people have a panic reaction, it's hard for them to understand that they are somatizing, or that's the physical manifestation of emotion. There's so much education that needs to be taught.
Do you believe that there are rotten apples?
I really do, yes, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And these mass murderers are rotten apples. So what is a rotten apple? A rotten apple is a complex integration of brain chemistry, thinking, emotion, physiology, and family dynamics.
Wow, you're giving me a lot to think about here. That's anything else that you want to say about this? We could talk for half an hour or more.
We could talk for a long time. Yeah. It's a very complex subject, but turning things around starts with information. Knowledge is power. And one of the things at the website, socialanxiety.com, and this is the most powerful thing there, is that there is a free library of clinical interviews with patients and families who have experienced this and who this problem and who have gotten well. There's nothing that comes close to that in terms of helping people, because people with social anxiety feel they're all alone. And the embarrassment and the shame and humiliation is so toxic that they rarely expose themselves. That's one of the reasons that the mental health profession has not been equipped to really deal with this effectively. So that's a really good place to start.